If you have not already, I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans. We will do a little more R&R today, a review of Romans, and then finish it up and get to chapter 8 next week in October for the 4 weeks, or at least the first 4 weeks in October. We'll be doing a series on human sexuality. During that time for children under sixth grade or so, we'll have a time for them in the multi-purpose, the big room, probably watching a VeggieTales video or something of that nature. Doing the best that I can in prepping for those sermons with the language and the things that we're going to be talking about. But if you're comfortable, if you talk in your homes about such things with your third, fourth, and fifth graders, that's fine. That doesn't. It's as parents, it's up to you to have them participate at that time or not. But we want to offer that if you don't think that that would be appropriate for them at this point, because we will be talking about things biblically, but also quite frankly about certain issues with human sexuality, because it's a tough issue. After that, for a couple of weeks before November, we'll talk about the theology of government, and then the holidays are upon us, so we probably won't get into Romans 9 until at least 3 years from now. But we've actually been at this for about 2 years. We got through halfway through for 2 years. That's wonderful. But let us pray together. Father, we thank you for this time in your word, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would give us light and understanding, and that you would just speak to all of us through your word in a way where we understand and can walk away today knowing you more, knowing ourselves better, and taking that knowledge, that wisdom to those around us so that they might know you, the one true God. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Last week was a big picture kind of week. We viewed Romans chapter 1, 2, and most of the way through chapter 3 up to verse 20, where God shows us, in particular, the most significant problem that we have. And the we there is as humans. It's not the biggest problem that we have as Americans. It's not the biggest problem that we have as Republicans or as Democrats or as independents. It's not even the biggest problem we have as Christians. No, rather, it is the biggest problem that all humanity faces. Every human on the face of the earth or who has ever walked the face of the earth has had this problem. We sin. We reject God, we rebel against his will and his ways, and we rebel against him. As humans, we try different ways to address, solve, resolve, fix, whatever adjective or verb, yeah, that would be verbs, the problem. We have a tendency to invent gods of our own making so that we don't have to answer to the one true God. And that can be in little ways, little forms, or in whole religious schemes. We invent gods of our own making. We ignore the truth. We ignore God's word. We ignore his general revelation in creation. We just simply reject the truth. We become, as humans, self-absorbed. That is a god of our own making as well, but it has a particular flavor to it. Rather than bowing down to an idol or setting up a whole system of philosophy and reasoning and those kinds of things, we believe that this is our kingdom and we set the rules and it's all about me. Many years ago, I heard a preacher talking about this. Actually, it was a musician, as a believer. And it was interesting that he noticed, and I may have used this illustration, but it's an apt illustration. In magazines at that time, you know, there were magazines that when we were young, when some of you were younger than me, there were magazines that were big picture magazines. There was Life magazine. There was Time magazine. And then it started to get narrower. The magazines come out and they get narrower and narrower. I mean, you know, Life and, well, Time's still out there. There's Newsweek. And then there's People magazine. And then there's Us magazine. And that's at the time the preacher was talking. That's about as far as we had gotten. He said, I'm wondering when it's going to get to me. Well, thank you, Oprah. We finally got there. Oh. We become incredibly self-absorbed in our rebellion against God in order to reject him. And finally, another way we try to solve the problem is that we uphold and we look to mankind for the answers. We think that government, philosophy, education, celebrity, whatever it is, philosophy of man, we give ourselves to that as human beings rather than to Almighty God. But it, as a matter of fact, not too long ago, they came up with a new diagnosis for people who feel guilty of their sin, and they got a medicine for it. And it's called scrupulosity. You can Google it. It's actually a mental condition if you feel guilty for your sin. To take care of the problem, we've invented a pill. It's interesting. I was talking to someone not too long ago who maintains their purity and was just hammered because they weren't participating in indulging their own flesh. But in the end, none of those things actually take care of, remove, fix, eradicate the problem. It still exists. Romans 3:21 through 5:21, in this section, a little more R&R, there is specific detail where God shows us how the problem is solved. In the person and work of Jesus Christ, God provides for our righteousness, our salvation, our justification, for the forgiveness of our sins. And the problem is fixed in Jesus Christ. First of all, we need to hit that sweet spot. If you're a golfer, you know, you're aiming at a very tiny little sphere, a little ball, and there's a very little area on the club face that when you swing, if you hit it in the right spot, the ball will do what it's supposed to do. That's the sweet spot. Many of us, well, I just chase a white ball around. I haven't golfed in years, but we can never find the sweet spot. As believers, we need to hit the sweet spot. Chapter 3, starting at verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The sweet spot, the righteousness of God, the fix of the problem is located in Jesus Christ and in him alone. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Christianity, the claims of Christ, the gospel of God, the fix to the problem is incredibly exclusive. There is no other way. God has provided, and it's one way, through the cross of Jesus Christ. That is where he fixes the problem. And it's not by works. Chapter 3, 22 through 31, unpack that for us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood. And then it goes on to discuss how it is that we have passed, how God passed over the sins previously committed as a demonstration so that when he got to Christ, he would not only be just, but the justifier of those who believe and have faith. So where is our boasting? Where is our system? I attend this church. I give to that fund. I religiously observe this, or I believe that this man was right. I believe in socialism. I believe in a democracy. I believe in a republic. I believe in this party. I believe in that party, and they're going to save us from our problems because man is basically good. Scripture doesn't say that. Romans 1, 2, and 3, we are deeply fallen, completely broken, sinners, without a hope in the world except what God has done. So we need to hit the sweet spot, and then we need to realize that it's not by works, but by faith. Verse 27, where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but the law of faith. We maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jew only? No, he's the God of Gentiles also. Since indeed God will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith is one. Do we then nullify the law? No. Circumcision, non-circumcision, baptism, non-baptism, giving to missions, non-giving to missions. Works cannot save anyone. God justifies by faith and faith alone. That's what the Reformation was all about. That was the major thing on the table. People died over that. It's not works, but faith that saves us. You and I, the things that I listed, we strive so hard to earn the favor of God, to be seen by man as good people. There are all kinds, and I keep going back to this, of systems of philosophy that man has come up with to understand and take care of our basic problem of sin because we know it. And we try to work our way and do things to cure it. And it's not by works that anyone will be forgiven or that sin is taken care of. It is by faith. In Psalm 46, verse 10, depending on the version you read, it says, stop moving. Cease striving. Be still. And know that I am God. The rest of the psalm talks about God being a refuge. The psalmist has figured out, by the Holy Spirit, God has given him the words that help undergird what has gone on in the cross. That God has done the work already. And we need to respond in faith to what has already been done. Be still. You can't do it. It's already done. We hit the sweet spot. Jesus Christ. And Romans moves on. Because God has provided for our sin in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We respond to history. Now, I want you to mentally think of the word history. I know that most of you, when we talk about history, you kind of start to glaze over. So I'm going to alter that a little bit today. Some of us, I was a history major as an undergrad. I love it. I love the stuff. It's awesome. So just split it up into two words. His story. So now respond to his story. Not history, but his story, which is history. I just kind of tricked you there, but that's all right. He gives us an example in chapter 4, verses 1 through 25 of, for all intents and purposes, the first convert, Abraham. Abraham is given as an example of the individual who responded to God in faith, and that was reckoned to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God, He got up out of Ur of the Chaldees and walked to a land that was not his own. And God said, it's not because you obeyed that you're righteous or that I'm going to look at you as righteous. It's because you believed me. So that when God called upon Abraham to do certain things with his son Isaac or to become a great nation, it wasn't because of what Abraham did that he was declared righteous. It was by faith. Abraham was a man of faith, not works. And in particular, what's discussed in chapter 4, verses 1 through 25, is the sign of the covenant. That's why I said before, circumcision, no circumcision, baptism, no baptism, giving to missions, no, whatever the religious observance is, it wasn't because Abraham obeyed the circumcision rule, but that he believed God. He was a man of faith. And God declares for us in chapter 4 that circumcision is of no value towards righteousness. Chapter 4, 22 through 25. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Abraham, as an example of his story and faith being reckoned to him as righteousness because of his faith, not his works, wasn't written just for the benefit of Abraham. But Paul says it's for those who he wrote to in Romans, for our sake as well. And guess who that includes, beloved? Us. For everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. But for our sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So the Bible has a historical record of God's story. Abraham is here and encourages us to know that story. All of those people from the past, don't glaze over. Look at them. They are men and women like you and I who respond in faith, sometimes well, sometimes poorly, just like you and I. Know his story from Scripture. And beloved, enjoy the company. They're not separated people from us. Yes, circumstances are vastly different, but Abraham had a beautiful wife. You got a beautiful wife, guys? I got a beautiful wife. Now she's blushing. It's getting hot in here. And he had to go to a foreign land, and he was afraid that they would kill him to take his wife. Now, I don't know that we're gonna deal with that particularly anywhere here, if Beth and I go anywhere. But there are some shady characters out there who try to hone in on your husband or your wife for whatever reason. Beautiful, good cook, whatever. You're going to face the same thing. Are you going to respond like Abraham and tell her to lie? Enjoy the company, warts and all. There is no perfect human being in Scripture except Jesus Christ, Almighty God, and human flesh. Know his record. Enjoy the company. And then ultimately, praise God for his story. Rejoice over what he has done in response to his story. And then, beloved, be an example. Just like Abraham, be an example of faith to those around you, not only for your salvation. If you're saved and your kids don't know your story, tell them your story. Tell them how you got saved. They need to know that. Not for your sake only, but for their sake as well. And then go tell somebody else. God shows us Abraham. Who does God want you to show what he has done in your life and that you've responded to by faith? Daily trust him for all of those things. You hit the sweet spot, you respond to the story. And then in chapter 5, redeem the benefit. verses 1 through 11. Not only because God has provided everything do we hit the sweet spot and we respond to the history, but we redeem the benefits. Now, young people, you know this as well as I do now because I have an iPad. You go to some store and you buy an iTunes gift card, right? For $10, $15, $50, $150, $700,000, right? And your card gets charged with something, some value, and it just sits there on a card. What do you got to do to it? You got to go to the App Store or the iTunes Store, and you got to go down to the bottom of the screen where in the center, well, iOS changed it, but it says a certain word on that little tabby there. What does it say? You were playing with them earlier today. I saw you doing it. You know what it says. I'm asking you a question. What does it say? It says redeem. Thank you, Hunter. I appreciate that. Alex, Haley, Courtney, Mitchell, Andrew, Michael could have responded. You redeem the card. You cash it in. You take full advantage of the benefit. And then you go buy for 99 cents. I don't know. Where's my water? I don't know. Redeem the benefits of what God has done. Look at them. Therefore, 5:1. Therefore, we have, being justified by faith, we have peace through God with God through our Lord Jesus. I get so excited, I can't even talk. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jump over to verse 10 of that same chapter. Before the end, I mean, we get to 11. Why do we need peace with God? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You and I and humans, because of our sin, are at war with God. Who do you think is going to win that war? He did at the cross. And if you and I don't come to the cross by faith, the victorious warrior will judge us. And we will not be redeemed. Enjoy the benefits that you have peace with Almighty God. He is no longer wrathful towards you if you have come to faith in Christ. He no longer will condemn you or send you into outer darkness where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the flesh of the worm does not dissipate. You have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You're no longer at war. Enjoy that benefit. Redeem that benefit. And then, what do we get in verse 2? Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace. Jane read that. Wonderful. By whom, through whom, Jesus Christ, we get grace. We get grace. We get God's riches at Christ's expense. Acronym that you probably all have heard before. And grace takes over. Not for some future thing, not because of some past thing, but right now, in this time, in this place, whatever is going on in your life, hardships, joys, griefs, celebrations, you and I get the grace of God through Jesus Christ. That's a benefit. Redeem it. Stand in that grace from which we now stand, and we exult in the hope of glory. One day, beloved, one day, we won't be doing this anymore. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will be in heaven, and that benefit will be redeemed. Right now, you have hope if you know Jesus Christ. Use it. Cash it in. Don't hoard it. On your iTunes gift card, if you don't buy Minecraft for $6.99, you will not use the money. It just sits there. Redeem the benefits. Enjoy your peace. Praise God for his grace. And have hope for the future. And then finally, in chapter 5, verses 12 to the end, know which camp you're in. Because God has provided, there's only two camps. Either you are in Adam's camp, or you are in Christ's camp. Through Adam came sin and the law and death. Through the one man, all of that happened. And through one man, Jesus Christ, came righteousness, justification, and life. Do you know which camp you're in? By faith, if you are in Adam's camp, come to Jesus Christ now. Thank God for what he has provided in Jesus Christ to take care of your problem. Ask him to forgive you. Surrender to his lordship in your life and follow him. Because that's Jesus' camp. You may choose to continue in Adam's camp, and you might think life is all lollipops and gummy bears, and you might work hard and have money and have stuff and have a religious philosophy and all those kinds of things that you think will save you, but in the end they will not, because God has provided only one way. Jesus Christ. Don't delay. Know which camp you're in. Redeem the benefits. Respond to his story and hit the sweet spot, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for today. We pray that you would help us to understand more of this review, what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ, and that you would, by your Holy Spirit, cause us to rejoice and love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen.